Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Abby D. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Thursday, January 2nd, 2025, and this is the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. We are reading from the Big Book and we are on page 68, fourth paragraph, Now About Sex, through one paragraph ending What Can We Do About Them? And we'll be commenting on that one paragraph. Today's readers are Joni C. for the 12 Steps, Anne Marie M. for the 12 Traditions, Susan G. reading the text, and Jessica C. reading page 164 at the closing. Thank you to Elena C., who is also our backup reader. The reference numbers for Wednesday, January 1st, 2025, for the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 22,044. That's 22,044. And for the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, 22,045. 22045. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Joni C. to read the 12 steps. Thanks, Joni.
Good morning. Thank you. This is Joni C., gratefully recovered but not cured from Minnesota. Here are the steps we took which are suggested as a program of recovery. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
All right. Thank you so much, Joni C., for reading the 12 steps. And I will now ask Anne Marie M. to read the 12 traditions.
Good morning. This is Anne Marie M., currently in Rhode Island. Reading the 12 traditions and miraculously recovering. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ social workers. 9, OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
Thank you so much, Anne Marie M., for reading the 12 traditions. All right, how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book on page 68 in the fourth paragraph, now about sex, through one paragraph ending, what can we do about them? And we'll be commenting on that one paragraph today. I will now ask Susan G. to begin reading. Thanks, Susan.
Thank you. Thanks, Abby. Good morning, everybody. Susan G. in Tennessee here, recovered compulsive overeater. Now about sex. Many of us needed an overhauling there, but above all, we tried to be sensible on the question. It's so easy to get way off the track. Here we find human opinions running to extremes, absurd extremes, perhaps. One set of voices cry that sex is a lust of our lower nature, a base necessity of procreation. Then we have the voices who cry for sex and more sex, who bewail the institution of marriage, who think that most of the troubles of the race are traceable to sex causes. They think we do not have enough of it, or that it isn't the right kind. They see its significance everywhere. One school would allow man no flavor for his fare, and the other would have us all on a straight pepper diet. We want to stay out of this controversy. We do not want to be the arbiter of anyone's sex conduct. We all have sex problems. We'd hardly be human if we didn't. What can we do about them? Yeah, well, what can we do about them is right. I'm going to set my timer here. All right. So what a paragraph to be inaugurated into trying this service of being a reader. But I do love this paragraph, and it was transformative in how to take an inventory. There are three words that I love in this paragraph that kind of sets the trajectory, or it did for me in my experience, of what mindset do I need to have, and how do I need to approach this. And it's overhauling, the word sensible, and the word arbiter. I needed to take an overhauling of my sex conduct. In other words, take it apart and repair anything in me that might be damaged. Maybe I'm anorexic sexually with my husband and not giving him the affection he needs, and I'm being incredibly selfish and self-seeking. Maybe there's things in my past trauma, abuse that I need to look at. But I don't need to look at it. I didn't need to look at it from a vantage point of fear. We're commencing to outgrow fear. I needed to be sensible, practical, and reasonable. I think, you know, I can get way off track. I want to be dismissive. I want to be defensive. I want to stay in some secrets. I had some secrets around my sex conduct for which there was tremendous shame and fear. And so this was one of those parts of the of my years of working the steps that I withheld the truth, the whole truth, from myself, from another fellow, and from God, quite frankly. With the help of a sponsor who met me not as an arbiter. She was so precious to me. She suspended judgment or a need to umpire my sex conduct. She wasn't interested in that at all. She wasn't trying to be an influencer of conduct. She didn't care if I was what kind of sex it was. We stayed out of the controversy of that and got to the deeper level of looking at ideals, as we're going to be told in the upcoming paragraphs. And I just find this to be such a great paragraph to say, calm down, girl. Calm down now. We're going to take a look at something that affects most everything. And it's about intimacy and vulnerability. And what a tremendous gift it is. Thank you so much for this precious opportunity to grow and learn and service in this group. I've already heard before the meeting started several voices that are going to come on and share whom I admire and I trust. And with that, I'm going to pass. Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much, Susan G., for getting us started on this fabulous paragraph all about sex. And before we go ahead and start shouting our names out there, I just want to say that although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So, who would like to share today?
Harlan G.
Harlan, I got you.
Thank you.
Mark Z.
Mark Z, got you.
Bonnie B.
Bonnie
Jason
B.
Jason KP.
Felicia D in Rhode Island.
Alicia D in Rhode Island. All right, let's go ahead and start with that. We have five on the lineup this morning. So we have Harlan G, Mark Z, Bonnie B, Jason KP, Alicia D. So Harlan G, go right ahead.
Thanks very much, Abby. I'm Harlan G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and I live in Scottsdale, Arizona. This is the third section of the fourth step inventory. It is the sex inventory. And a lot of questions arise out of what constitutes a harm in this sexual area. And I have sponsored men for a long time. And what you normally get is a list of the people that they've had sex with and why they're not with them anymore. Or you have a list of, I don't remember all these one-night stands, or I don't remember all these various things. That's not what this is about. You can have a one-night stand with somebody, and if it's mutual assent by two adults and nobody gets harmed, then there's no reason to put this down. This is an inventory of the harms that we do to each other in the sexual area. What are they? Now, obviously, the first thing that comes to mind usually is cheating, and that's one of them for sure. Did we use our God-given sex powers? Now, we don't have to take our clothes off to harm somebody in this area. Did you elicit attention from somebody through flirtation using your God-given sex powers to further your career? Did you use your God-given sex powers to manipulate another person? Did you use your God-given sex powers to harm somebody? Maybe you were mad at somebody, so you seduced somebody and had sex with them knowing it would get them mad, and that was your motivation. Did you withhold sex? Did you withhold affection to manipulate another person? Maybe they're White Sox fans and you withhold affection from them until they become Cub fans. Whatever that may be, that is a way that we harm each other in this area. I was 24 years old when I came in here. I never went on my first date with a girl till I was 35. It would be 11 more years before I would ever go on a date with a girl. So my sponsor had me go through my normal friend relationships to see, were they selfish? Were they manipulative? We're going to use a 5-column inventory for sex. We used 4 for resentment. We used 4 for fear. Now we're going to use 5. Who did we hurt? Column 1. What did we do? Column 2. Column 3. What basic instinct or instincts were involved? Normally it's going to be money. Normally it's going to be social. Not always sex. 4th column. What defects of character within us forced us to take that action to harm another person? And the 5th column, something we've never considered before, we're going to use a column to put down what should we have done instead. We're going to use 5 columns for sex. And if you're at one end or the other, you can still do this.
That's time, Harlan.
All right, Abby. Thank you so much. Happy New Year. We love you all. Bye.
Thank you so much, Harlan, for getting us started. Well, Susan and Harlan for getting us started today. And next up, we'll have Mark Z followed by Bonnie B. Mark Z, go right ahead. Let us know where you're calling from, too, please.
Mark Z from Minnesota. Okay. Oh, thank you, trusted servants. And wow, what a great topic. I've been thinking about this phrase I've heard in recovery circles: if you spot it, you got it. And I'm currently been separated from my wife for about 15 months now. And I've really been looking at all the different things that I saw in her that were turn off. And it's taken me quite a while, but I'm seeing those different things in me. Those things like pride, things like being boring. You know, I placed way too many expectations on our marriage. I thought that she was going to be the solution to all my problems. Sounds like an addiction, doesn't it? That I wasn't looking for a spiritual solution. I was looking for a human solution. And the big book, you know, of course, tells us we need a spiritual solution. And, oh, yeah, when it comes to sex, it was very interesting. There's these things called love languages, and there's different things that turn us on. And the thing that turns me on is what we're doing right now, having a meaningful conversation about things that are really important to our souls. And what turned my wife on was doing projects together. And it was such a challenge because I got a job that's physically demanding, and I'd come home and I was tired and I did not want to do projects. I was tired. So there were different problems that if I would have sought a more spiritual way of life, maybe we could have overcome those problems. And it's not over yet. you know, this one of the things I found out that I was powerless over in recovery, when I seriously got into recovery, is that I don't control the schedule on which my character defects are removed. A lot of times I ask God to remove different character defects and they go away for a while and they come back. And I ask again. And I think that's okay. I think that's okay to accept that this is not a linear process. I will maybe take a back step in here, stumble sometimes, maybe have a little relapse and have to get up and get my sanity back and get going again. Do a 10th step, you know, and make an amends again. I don't think I'll ever be done making amends. So, yeah, I'm kind of food addict, but an attention addict, and that attention gets mixed in there with sex. So, all right, thanks for a great meeting. Talk to you later, guys.
All right, thanks so much, Mark Z from Minnesota. All right, next up we have Bonnie B., I believe from Florida, and then Jason KP. Bonnie B., go right ahead.
Hey, good morning. Yes, I am from Florida. Thanks, Abby, for your service today and for the opening chair. Bonnie B., recovered by the grace of God, today living in Florida. You know, when I first came into program and I read this paragraph, I was like, what is that doing in this book? I mean, it didn't make sense to me, and it terrified me. It terrified me because I did have stuff in the closet. And the thought of pulling that to the front and sharing that with another person, again, wow, like not on your life, right? As a professing Christian woman, not on your life. And I'll tell you that when I did my first inventory, God had brought to my awareness many things. And one of them was like, nope. And when I gave it away as a fifth step, guess what? I didn't share it with that person. And she was kind and loving. And as the opening share said, no judgment. I have never met anyone who has ever placed upon me judgment with regards to my being honest with some of these things that are just part of my history. But I didn't, because I was so terrified of what her opinion would be of me. And you can fast forward 6 months and I was back in the food. And when I got into response, the first question that she asked me was, were you honest when you gave your fifth step away? And immediately I knew that I hadn't been. And again, you know, we know the food has to be down in order for God to speak. The food has to be down in order for me to be able to hear God on the inside. But when the food is down, I can hear God. So when I think about what goes on this piece of paper regarding sex or anything, it's always going to be what's driving me. We know it's selfish and self-seeking. That's the root of my problem. So why am I doing what I'm doing? Why did I do what I did? What's the driving agent behind it? That's that fourth column for me. That's what I have to figure out. I will never get healing until I can figure out what the driver of the truck is. Why? What's pushing me forward? You know, when it came to some of the sexual stuff, it wasn't physical sexual stuff. It was cheating in my mind, right? I mean, there are things I had to be honest about that I did that were not of God. I did it solely for me. I did it because I was selfish and self-seeking in this area. There's just no shame when it comes to you know, why we do what we do and why we did what we did. We did it, I don't know, it doesn't really matter. You know, I guess the deal is when God reveals it, we turn it over, we're honest, we ask him to do what only he can do, which is to remove it, to heal, we make amends if it's not going to hurt the other person, and then we ask him to create within us his ideal. And little by little, he does that. And love this paragraph now. Terrified of it when I first came in, but run toward it because it's part of the healing process. Thanks again, Abby. Thanks, everyone. Blessings to you all. And I will pass.
All right. Thank you so much. That was Bonnie B. from Florida. And next up, we have Jason KP, followed by Alicia D. Jason, go ahead.
Excuse me. Good morning. This is Jason KP from Pennsylvania, outside of Philadelphia, recovered bulimic and compulsive overeater. You know, I've heard a lot of people say this inventory is about harms, like harm, what harm we've done in relationships. And, you know, I think this really clearly says this is about sex and sexual relations. And for me, this is part of our message here in Vision for You. Stick to the text, stick to the big book, and get clear about that. Now, I think those harms, you know, maybe come to light in, you know, step 8. I think that's certainly reasonable. And if we have deep fears about those harms, of course, do inventory about them. So I think my message this morning is about, you know, purity of this message. You know, and the other line I love is that we are not the arbiters of other people's sex conduct. When I would go to meetings, people would say things like, you're not allowed to date for a year. And I'd be like, what is going on here? Like, I can't date anybody. That was a big preoccupation of mine because I wanted to be in a relationship. So I figured I'd get in a relationship and then get into recovery, because there's no slogan or saying that you have to break up with a person you're dating to get into recovery. But that's just how my mind went. But there's nothing in the big book that says we're going to tell other people how to conduct their lives in a sexual realm. I'm not sure too many other realms. We can't just, for me, I don't just get to make things up that aren't in the big book and say, well, that means going to any lengths, or if you're serious, you're going to do this. For me, going to any lengths means if it's in the big book and it says we do it, we do it. If it says we write it, we write it. If it says we pray it, we pray it. If it's in the big book. If it's not, I don't count it. And for me as a bulimic, you know, I was a person of extremes, right? And Bill is kind of encouraging us towards balance and moderation. I see the tradition in here about not having opinions of outside issues, or, you know, not, you know, he says we're not evangelists or preachers. We don't have, you know, these opinions on outside issues. And I think with this thing, he's just saying, maybe we need to be a little bit more balanced and not run to an extremes, but we're not the arbiters. And later on, he's going to talk about, you know, counsel with others is good, but it ultimately, this is between you and your higher power. And that's what I try to repeat to my sponsees instead of telling them, well, it looks like you should go on a third date with this person, or you should break up with this person, or you should take a period of abstinence. Like, no, 100% no. I say, if someone comes to me with a problem around sex or sexuality, I say, let's do some inventory, and you're going to contact your own higher power to get your advice and guidance and intuitive thought and decision to move forward in your life in a God-inspired way. And with that, I'll pass.
Much Jason KP from Pennsylvania. All right, next up we have Alicia G in Rhode Island, and then I will take another lineup. Go ahead, Alicia.
Hi, thank you so much for your service. My name is Felicia, F-E-L-I-C-I-A, and I am in Rhode Island. I wanted to take a second to talk about this, because what came up for me listening was that, you know, based on my weight, which often fluctuated at 100 pounds overweight, I did not feel like a sexual being. I did not feel attractive. I would reject myself if I was in a relationship with myself, my body, I would say, not my soul. But that's what I was preoccupied with, my body. And so sometimes I wouldn't have sex just because my body repulsed me, and I didn't see that I was being selfish, that it was all about me and my image or preoccupation. But often with my husband, I would do the opposite, and I would want to have sex probably too much because I couldn't imagine that he could actually be attracted to me. So it wasn't really in communion with each other. It was seeking reassurance that he would still be with me or wanted to be with me. And that was selfish and self-seeking as well. It was all about me and meeting my needs, and not even my physical needs, but my deep, deep insecurity and fear of rejection. The other thing that comes up in conjunction with that is my husband was molested, and so there are times that he has his own sex problems and doesn't want to have sexes, have flashbacks, whatever. And instead of understanding that that might be a trauma response, you know, I was too preoccupied with needing to check the box that he still wanted to be with me, that I was still worthy of affection. And so I didn't always have enough patience and tolerance and kindness to be able to support him. I did at times, but other times I didn't. And so those are some of the ways that selfishness came up for me, even within my marriage, within a committed relationship. And I guess that's what I wanted to share today. Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much, Felicia. Sorry, I got that. Missed the F on the beginning of your name. So that was Felicia D. from Rhode Island. Thanks so much. And I'm going to take another lineup. I just want to let you know where we're reading today. We're on page 68 in the fourth paragraph, now about sex. And we read one paragraph ending, what can we do about them? And we're commenting on just that one paragraph today. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others may share their experience too. So I'm going to take another line. Who would like to share?
Elena.
Elena.
Christina J., North Carolina.
Okay, Christina J. Anyone else? I have Elena. Elena, what's your last initial? All right, I heard Elena, but I'm not sure what their last initial is, and Christina J. So Elena, go ahead, followed by Christina J. Press star one to unmute. Okay, maybe I misheard it. Let's go with Christina J, and then I'll take another lineup. Christina, go ahead.
Hey there, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Hello? Okay, good. I'm in a funny area driving. So this is a loaded subject. Christina J from North Carolina. Very loaded and very painful for many of us. And, you know, I have an addiction to food because food makes me feel good. It gives me comfort. It answers every, you know, it comes forth with every solution to every problem that I have, every problem that I have. And when I'm not in the food, when I wasn't in the food in my dieting days, I would seek out love in all the wrong places, right? And I was married during this time. And my husband was just like my father. My father was very damaged. Let me have compassion for him. Very, very damaged, and did things to me that he shouldn't have done. So I had a very mixed message. And what I wanted when I went out was I wanted love, and I wanted compassion, and I wanted to be held. Things I didn't get as a child from my father. And I wanted all those things because my ache inside from not using food, from all the things that were wrong in my subconscious and in my disease of life, didn't know where to go because I didn't have program. So then I went to some affairs, and I got found out, and it was like excruciatingly painful. So painful were those affairs when I got found out that I would never, ever, ever do it again. I couldn't go through that again. I know exactly what it's like to be on that side of the fence, and it's not pleasant. It's not pleasant. And so my husband is safe from that today, you know, but I still have the wound. And so this program, when I did my four step, I got to make amends to that husband of mine that I had stepped out on, and I got to make amends to myself. And my father was on that list, and I got to do all these things around that wound. But I am an addict. And I am an addict that seeks out pleasure, and not pleasure, but comfort, comfort. So sex was a thing that I used, and I got held during that time. I got cherished. I got appreciated. You know, maybe it was wrong, whatever, but I don't have to do that today because of this program and because of what I went through with that. And so today I'm so glad to be on the other side of the fence of it, and I can have compassion for those that are lost in that particular path. But this four-step and putting this down on paper shows me what I was seeking. I can relieve myself of the guilt. I can relieve myself of the shame that I went through during those times. And it was horrible, horrible shame. I woke up with guilt dripping like sweat, you know, when I would be laying in bed with my husband realizing what I was doing. But, you know, we can make excuses and we can rationalize whatever we want when we're in disease. But when we start to wake up and see the other side of the fence, when we start to wake up and realize that we were damaged and those that hurt us were damaged and the people we hurt were damaged, we can grow and we can become good moral character people that want to be of service to others. So this is a loaded topic and I look forward to hearing more. And God bless us all as we unveil and reveal and heal from these pains of our past. Love you all. I pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Christina J. in North Carolina. All right. We ask that, although we value your experience, that you please limit your share to every third day so that we can hear some new voices too. So who else would like to share on this paragraph today? Press star one to unmute.
Lisa B.
Anita B. Anita J.
Saressa F.
Is it Saressa?
Saressa, like Teresa S. Called her, she didn't
answer. She Teresa S.
S is in Frank.
Teresa F.
There you go.
There we go. All right, third time's a charm. All right, let's go ahead with that. We have Lisa B, Anita J, and Teresa F. Just go ahead and let us know where you're calling from when you unmute, and we'll start with Lisa B.
Good morning. My name is Lisa B., compulsive overeater, recovered from Michigan. I hesitated, hesitated to speak up and everything because I didn't think I had anything to share. But listening to others and then replaying my own history, it's like what I realized that, like others have shared, I think, that especially in the beginning, I was seeking love and self-esteem through sex in a self-centered way. And regardless of how it affected others. And in a nutshell, it hurt other people, but in the long run, it hurt me as well. Because it did just the opposite. You know, it left me feeling more unloved and more with less self-esteem. Today, through program and inventory and things like that, I no longer behave that way, thank God. yeah, I guess that's it in a nutshell. Let me share.
All right. Thank you so much. That was Lisa B. in Michigan. Next up, we'll have Anita J., followed by Teresa F. Anita J., go right ahead.
Thank you. Thank you, Abby. This is Anita J., and I'm from Massachusetts. But all this happened when I was a little kid in Illinois. Because, you know, life, you live it forward, but if you want to understand it, you got to look back. And that finally happened in one of my last inventories, because the sex inventory was really like peeling an onion. Some of the other areas, I gladly peeled that onion, but this one I didn't know at all. I've had it. So it came to be that this flirtatiousness, I had a flirtatiousness with men, and I don't think anyone on Vision, you know, any times I've been face to face with any of you, have ever seen it, because once I saw it through the program, and after I cringed, and after I saw, of course, you couldn't have behaved any other way, it left. It just left. But back then, in church, for example, flirtatious with this one fellow, and, couple others in Al-Anon, there was just this way I was. And the thing I want to say is, it's very good to go forward, because once you have done the work, it's gone. It is gone. I've had no 10 steps about it, relapse about it. It's just gone. What a relief. What a relief, and well worth the work. I pass.
All right. Thank you so much. That was Anita J. from Massachusetts. All right. Next up, we have Teresa F., and then I'll get in there and share too. Teresa, let us know where you're calling from, please.
Hi, this is Teresa F. from Oklahoma. And I'm going to share this, especially if there's anybody new out there. When I first came, I was dealing with a lot of shame and guilt over my sexual abuse as a child. And that was the thing that I was most afraid of to share with my sponsor the first time through the fourth step. And because I had always believed in a loving God, and so I felt like it must have been me. And, of course, I was told it was my fault. And it was a huge buildup to me. And when we got to this section of the fourth step, and I was crying and so ashamed and guilty, and she was like, that wasn't your fault. And so it was like the heavens opened up, you know, and it was the first time I've shared it with anybody but my therapist. And that shame and guilt kept me in bondage, not only to the food, but a lot of other things for so long. And I would never have, it's really important to me that OI is not based on religion, because even though I was a Christian, I wouldn't have gone to a Christian group because I felt too ashamed. And I love that this program is spiritual, not religious. And I love this step because it was so freeing for me. I had to deal with a lot of some of the harms that I did was from withholding affection. I had difficulty being interdependent the way that you need to be in a healthy relationship. And if you're afraid to do in your fourth step, which of course I was, just take a deep breath and trudge on through. And it's so worth it. And with that, I'll pass.
All right. Thank you so much. That was Teresa F. from Oklahoma. Appreciate that. And I'm actually just going to take another lineup. So although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day so that others may share their experience too. Today we're on page 68 in the fourth paragraph, now about sex. Who else would like to share today? We have time for like 3-4 more people maybe. Press star 1 to unmute.
Julie M. from New York.
Julie M. Who else?
Jessica C.
Jessica C. Couple more. One more.
Never Margaret D, Georgia.
Okay, Margaret D in Georgia. All right, we'll go with that and see where we end up after. All right, so I have Julie M. from New York, Jessica C., and then Margaret D. Julie M., go right ahead.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Julie M. from New York. I'm so grateful to be here on the second day of January and how this topic comes up. Growing up in a home where there was a lot of physical abuse, I never thought that I was worthy of any real love. And so when I was seeking partners, it was just revolving around sex, because I was looking for love in all the wrong places. And, you know, through a lot of work in therapy, through a lot of work in the 12-step programs, I've come to realize that that was something that I had to go through so that I can move forward in this program. And when I did my sex inventory the first time around, I was so ashamed. I was so remorseful. And knowing that everyone has sex problems, as it says in the big book, and that I can't get away from it. And so with a lot of love and self-care towards self and others, I've come to realize that God is doing for me what I can't do for myself. And a lot of that stuff is healing, you know, and when I go back to it, I have to remember that I'm an imperfect human and that I'm developing and growing towards the sunlight of the spirit. I wish everybody a happy new year, and thank you so much for allowing me to share.
All right. Thank you so much, Julie M. from New York. Next up, we have Jessica C., followed by Margaret D. Jessica C., go right ahead.
Hi, this is Jessica C., recovered compulsive overeater in Ontario, Canada. You know, I've learned through people who share on this meeting that what Bill was referring to when he was talking about sex was a lot of it was about relationships of the romantic kind. And I've been in OA a long time, and I've been single for much of that time. But when I worked the steps and got recovered almost 4 years ago, I had met my husband by then. And for me, this paragraph is about shaping an ideal that I carry out in my marriage. And if I'm being honest, this is a part of my life where I can easily rest on my laurels. There's no major challenges in my marriage. It feels really comfortable. But as an addict, when things feel comfortable and routine, I can act out in selfish ways, and it can be really subtle. You know, do I initiate affection, or is it always him? Do I try to be interested in things that he likes? My husband likes to have his friends over, and they do, you know, they're doing things together, and my husband wants me to be a part of that. Do I take part? Do I join, or do I leave the room and go and do my own thing by myself? I can tend towards isolation, and I can contribute to a dynamic where we're living more like roommates. And, you know, I can hide from emotional intimacy by becoming too wrapped up in other things, and my husband starts to feel alone. So now in recovery, when I notice these things, I have to inventory them and ask God to show me how to be. And that's the sex ideal that the rest of this section will talk about. And if I find it difficult to live up to that ideal, then I ask God to help me with that too. For me, these can be really tricky, like nuanced situations, but I know that God can show us how to handle them. And when I do notice that I've begun to isolate myself from my husband, and I try to address it without God using self-reliance, I can be really ham-handed about it and try to, you know, try to sort of force him into activities he doesn't want to do, or, you know, try to solve it in like a checklist kind of way. Like, you know, if I'm always saying, you know, greeting him at the door when he comes home from work, then I tell myself everything's okay. When maybe they're not. So if I stay really close to God and discern his will, I know that he will show me how to be in the moment, and God can help me enable a real emotional intimacy. So with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Jessica C. from Ontario, Canada. Next up, we have Margaret D. from Georgia.
Hey, everybody. Good morning. This is Margaret D. in Georgia. But before I get started, I would love to welcome the newcomers or the people that are in relapse or anybody that's still suffering from this disease. There's such recovery here. So actually, when I even think about being a newcomer, it really brings back to me so many misunderstandings that I had about sex. And but the bottom line really to it was I thought that actually, you know what? I don't think I thought about anything. I think my experience seems to be that I just plunged ahead with whatever my ego told me, whatever my ego told me to do, that ego that was based on selfishness, self-centeredness, dishonesty, and fear. And that really showed up in the selection of who I ultimately married, why I got married. I mean, it really directed my life. I developed the idea that I needed somebody to take care of me, like to just physically protect me. And so that was really more of why I selected my sexual partner than having anything at all to do with whether I loved this person, whether I wanted to be in a relationship with them, you know, as far as a healthy relationship. I was looking for a bodyguard and not understanding that and not realizing it and not knowing it. I made all my choices on that. The beauty of doing the fourth step and doing the sex inventory is it's not only, as a matter of fact, I think it's, for me anyways, it was not so much what sexual practices did I do or not do or any of that, but who was directing my life, my sex life, and why. And God was absolutely nowhere in there, absolutely nowhere. I just always felt like I had to take care of myself. And using a five-year-old's brain at the age of 20, that's how I picked out who my partner would be. The marriage had some happy moments in it, yes. But for the most part, you can't. Or what I realize now,
that's
and
time.
I'll wrap it up with this, is I have to have God's direction on absolutely everything, everything. First and foremost, also about my sex life. So thank you, everybody. Again, welcome to newcomers and retreads. We're just so happy you're here. Pass.
Thank you so much, Margaret D. from Georgia. All right, we have time for one more quick share, maybe 1 to 2 minutes. Would anyone like to take that? Time for one more. All right, I heard S. I'll go ahead and go with you. Just go ahead.
David
F. Your name. It was. I don't believe it was David. Was there another person that came on? It's kind of hard to hear you though. Okay, David, go ahead. Sorry, Adrian. We're gonna go with David. David, if you could close us out, you just have 1 minute. Adrian, stay on after we have another hour. Okay. If you want to share. Go ahead, David.
Hi, everybody. Thank you. Glad to be here. David, a compulsive overeater. Trying to do my best I can to recover. And, you know, I still feel that I'm learning how to give it over to my higher power. I'm learning through the steps. You know, it's got to be through the steps. That's the only way. I try it different ways, you know. And I grew up in a faith, and with this program, I feel like I'm getting closer to my higher power. And, I'm learning about my higher power and myself each day through this program. And it's definitely a journey. And I'm glad to take it with my OA family. So anyway, that's all. I got the pass. Maybe she can have a drink after. Bye.
All right. Thank you so much. David, I missed your last initial and where you're calling from. David N, was it? And where are you calling from?
David all M right. is a Mike.
And your state? From Florida. Okay. Thank you so much. David M from Florida. All right. That's actually all the time we have for today. So thank you so much to everyone who shared. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. The share ID for today, Thursday, January 2nd, 2025, is 22047. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Jessica C. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only, reading until keep you until then.
Hi, our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.